did not take place, and why he is married to another woman while I am still single. But you must ask her, not me. You must ask Penelope. Yes, Emma, Penelope was at the bottom of it all. She thinks everything fair for a husband. I trusted her. She set him against me, with a view of gaining him herself, and it ended in his discontinuing his visits, and soon after marrying somebody else. Penelope makes light of her conduct, but I think such treachery very bad. It has been the ruin of my happiness. I shall never love any man as I love Purvis. I do not think Tom Musgrave should be named with him in the same day.
"You quite shock me by what you say of Penelope," said Emma. "Could a sister do such a thing? Rivalry, treachery between sisters. I shall be afraid of being acquainted with her. But I hope it was not so. Appearances were against her."
"You do not know Penelope. There is nothing she would not do to get married. She would as good as tell you so herself. Do not trust her with any secrets of your own. Take warning by me, do not trust her. She has her good qualities, but she has no faith, no honour, no scruples, if she can promote her own advantage. I wish with all my heart she was well married. I declare I had rather have her well married than myself."
"Than yourself? Yes, I can suppose so. A heart wounded like yours can have little inclination for matrimony."
"Not much indeed. But you know we must marry. I could do very well single for my own part. A little company and a pleasant ball now and then would be enough for me, if one could be young forever. But my father cannot provide for us, and it is very bad to grow old and be poor and laughed at. I have lost Purvis, it is true, but very few people marry their first loves. I should not refuse a man because he was not Purvis. Not that I can ever quite forgive Penelope."
Emma shook her head in acquiescence.
"Penelope, however, has had her troubles," continued Miss Watson. "She was sadly disappointed in Tom Musgrave, who afterwards transferred his attention from me to her, and whom she was very fond of. But he never means anything serious, and when he had trifled with her long enough, he began to slight her for Margaret, and poor Penelope was very wretched. And since she has been trying to make some match at Chichester, she won't tell us with whom, but I believe it is a rich old Dr. Harding, uncle to the friend she goes to see, and she has taken a vast deal of trouble about him, and given up a great deal of time to no purpose as yet. When she went away the other day, she said it should be the last time. I suppose you did not know what her particular business was at Chichester, nor guess at the object which could take her away from Stanton just as you were coming home after so many years' absence."
"No, indeed, I had not the smallest suspicion of it. I considered her engagement to Mrs. Shaw just at the time as very unfortunate for me. I had hoped to find all my sisters at home, to be able to make an immediate friend of each.
I suspect the doctor to have had an attack of the asthma, and that she was hurried away on that account. The Shaws are quite on her side, at least I believe so, but she tells me nothing. She professes to keep her own counsel. She says, and truly enough, that too many cooks spoil the broth."
"I am sorry for her anxieties," said Emma, "but I do not like her plans or her opinions. I shall be afraid of her. She must have too masculine and bold a temper. To be so bent on marriage, to pursue a man merely for the sake of situation, is a sort of thing that shocks me. I cannot understand it. Poverty is a great evil, but to a woman of education and feeling it ought not, it cannot be the greatest. I would rather be a teacher at a school, and I can think of nothing worse, than marry a man I did not like."
"I would rather do anything than be a teacher at a school," said her sister. "I have been at school, Emma, and know what a life they lead. You never have. I should not like marrying a disagreeable man any more than yourself, but I do not think there are many very disagreeable men. I think I could like any good-humoured man with a comfortable income. I suppose my aunt brought you up to be rather refined."
"Indeed, I do not know. My conduct must tell you how I have been brought up. I am no judge of it myself. I cannot compare my aunt's method with any other person's, because I know no other.
But I can see in a great many things that you are very refined. I have observed it ever since you came home, and I am afraid it will not be for your happiness. Penelope will laugh at you.